What if I told you that your marriage, your divorce, your very first attempt to try to get the attention of a woman who's had her head stuck in a phone for 3 days was engineered by someone else who had a motive, an idea for how this game could be played? And you, my friend, are not necessarily the player in this game, but you're more like the product of this game. But now, before you click off and think this is about feminism, let me assure you, it's not. Feminism was something that I thought was behind a lot of the social deconstruction we've seen over the last 50 or 60 years. And I think that does play a role, don't get me wrong. But a bunch of lesbians taking gender studies is kind of a silly idea. And the fact that our society has changed so significantly over the last 5 decades, I just can't give them that much credit, quite honestly. Now, there are some very powerful people involved in this whole situation and a lot of money involved in it. I am pretty sure that I can make a pretty strong case that there is a simp industrial complex, and they have pre-engineered the entire idea that men should be submissive to women in relationships, and that the pink mist should dominate your thinking. Anyway, we're going to get into it deep today. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. Every great scam needs 3 things. It needs a product to sell, an idiot to sell it to, and a story to make the idiot think that buying the product was his idea. Now, with the simp industrial complex, what they're selling is the idea that men should be submissive to women in relationships, and that women are necessary for men to feel whole and complete in their lives. That men should be willing to give up their identity, their resources, anything that they have of value, that it should be their life's purpose to develop and maintain a strong, healthy relationship with a woman. This is the product that they're selling. The story that they're using to sell it with started when we were children, that women needed protection, that women were princesses. You know, you were 5 years old, you're watching your Saturday morning cartoons, and the princess comes on, and she's beautiful, she's perfect, she smells good, at least you can imagine that she smells good. But oh my gosh, there's a dragon. You know, there's something evil out there in the world that wants to kill her, wants to destroy her. And then comes the prince, and he's just like you. That's you, the prince. He's just like you, except that he is better looking, has better hair, has a horse. But man, that prince, he comes along and he saves the day. And in exchange, that princess, man, she gives him sweet loving. All kinds of sweet loving, at least as much as you can get on Saturday morning cartoons. And the idiot who buys this stuff, yes, gentlemen, in case you haven't figured it out yet, that would be us. So the setting is perfect, all the pieces are in place, and the scam has started. And like I said, it started long before your brain had the defense mechanisms to sort through it all. Yes, your 5-year-old brain was defenseless at that time, and the seed was planted for what it means to be a simp. That princess is the idealization of women. She is the perfect construct of what we want. And as we get older, we see it on TV, we see it in movies, we hear it in the love songs. It reinforces this idea over and over and over again that our purpose in life as men is to find the princess, is to protect the princess, and to make her the focal point of our entire lives. That is what the simp industrial complex does from the very beginning. They hold the women out. They hold women out as the pivot point, the central point in a man's life. And that a man is not a man unless he has not only acquired a princess, but that he does everything in her power and his power to maintain that relationship. He must maintain that relationship. He cannot make her unhappy. He's got to do everything to make sure that she is as happy as she can be. So I want you guys to think just for a moment. who is it that benefits, not emotionally, but economically, when men are submissive to women in relationships? Because the fact that should make you guys straighten up in your chair just a little bit is that women make about 85% of the buying decisions in the common American household. There's a term for it in the economic world or in the world of business. She is the chief purchasing officer of the family. She is involved in every purchasing decision that there is to make. Everything from what cereal you're going to buy, to what car you're going to drive, to what house you're going to live in. She is the key deciding factor in almost every single one of these things. Women are businesses or corporations' number one ally. They are the engine behind the economic growth that has spurred the United States to be the biggest country, the biggest economy in the world. My God, it's patriotic. It's patriotic, by God. Our GDP dwarfs GDPs of just about every other country on the planet. Even China, our GDP is almost twice what their GDP is. So, yeah, trust me. These guys have thought this thing through very, very well, and they know who their target is. They don't want to target men because a guy, he looks at his old couch and he thinks it's good enough. It'll be fine. I don't need to buy a new couch. He goes after her. Yeah, she's already seen 500 couches on Instagram that someone else is sitting on right now. You know, she's already got it in her head. She can imagine it. She's already thinking it through. Even before the commercial comes on TV, she's already got the idea that she needs a new couch. That couch, that old couch of yours has got to go. And a new couch is going to be in its place. So you can see why there would be an economic incentive for lots and lots and lots of people, companies, to be involved in this whole process. They see the opportunity that comes when women are in a place of domination, superiority, in the driver's seat, if you will, in relationships. And they can also see how it's so important that men become simps. That when a man is dedicating his entire life to making this woman happy, well, he's not going to have the balls to stand up and say no when she wants something new, when she wants to replace that couch, when she wants a new car, when she wants to buy a new house. He's just going to be doing everything he can to make her happy because that's his job. That's his job. They have trained him since he was a child, and now he's going to fulfill his role in the economic circle of life, and he's going to just go along with whatever it is. He's going to go along to get along because he does not want to disrupt this relationship, because it, after all, is the single most important thing in his life. It's his identity. It's everything that he is. Why would he risk everything to say no to his beautiful princess? Now, the delivery system for the simp industrial complex actually gets a lot more complicated because the media gets involved, not just with Disney and love movies and love songs and romance and all that bullshit, but they take it up a notch. Sitcoms and commercials, they reinforce this idea of the competent woman and the bumbling idiot man. You know, and every woman has to be the voice of reason in the household. She's got to be the one that keeps everything organized. She's got to be the one that works things out. Debu, come! The man is always some kind of bumbling idiot who, without his wife organizing things and keeping things straight and prioritizing things for him, he would just be a basket case. He wouldn't be able to do anything. My God, the poor guy, he'd probably put the baby in the dryer. You know, he just doesn't have the sense that God gave a goat. He is a complete moron. He's a complete moron. And this appears in the sitcoms. This appears in TV commercials. It's constantly reinforcing the idea, not only for you as a man that you're an idiot, but also for the woman. She's really the target here because she then subconsciously is making the decision in her mind that it's clear that men don't have the ability to make these important buying decisions, that she has to take control of these things. And it's reinforced over and over and over again. And as time goes on, these roles become etched in like concrete, and the man really is kind of the bumbling idiot, and the woman really is the person who's making all the decisions. And the groundwork for the relationship's destruction is being laid every single moment of every single day on broadcast television. Now, these media companies, they know what they're doing. They're all global conglomerates. It's not just about having a TV station. No, 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 no. They're owned by bigger companies, food companies, car companies, banking companies. They're all in it together on some different level. And the people that are making the decisions to make these TV commercials and these TV shows, these are people who have been studying psychology and relationships. And they have an insight into human psychology that most of us will never fully understand. They know what the subtle cues are to create an environment and a relationship and to create buying cues, if you will. They know what it takes to sell soap. They really do. And by putting her in that driver's seat in the soap buying department and you basically being defanged and not having the ability to express an opinion or to restrict her buying in any way, shape, or form is exactly what they want. They do not want a man standing up and saying no. Think about it. When was the last time you saw a man on a sitcom or in a comedy where there was a couple where he seemed competent, secure, that he was capable of making good decisions, that he was being held out as the foundation, if you will, of the family in the show. You know, you got to go back to like Father Knows Best in the 1950s to find that guy. You know what I mean? Just about everything since then has shown men as being completely kind of unstable and unreliable. I remember even I Dream of Jeannie, which a lot of women would say was a sexist show against women because Jeannie was running around in her cute little outfit and taking commands from a man, you know? But really, what was his name? Colonel Nelson, I think? I can't remember. But this astronaut, he just couldn't get his shit together. Like, he was always running in circles, and Jeannie was always fixing his problems. She was always behind the scenes making sure everything was okay for him, you know? Anyway, it's just very interesting the way that this psychology has seeped into our culture over the last 50 or 60 years, and how no one's really noticed it, and no one's really pushed back against it. But there it is. In order to fully understand this, I think it's important that we go back to the 1970s to wrap our brains around culturally what was going on before women entered the workforce en masse. Before that, life was relatively simple. Each household had one income, and generally speaking, that was going to be the man. And generally speaking, women ran the household, they raised the children. Was this a perfect situation? Probably not. You know, I mean, there were lots of women who were not comfortable with their role in society. But not all. I mean, most women were pretty fine with it. But feminism came along, set them all free, let them all enter the workforce. And so women entered the workforce like never before. And what happened was, it's just like in any other economic model, you get supply and demand. And in this case, labor is that supply. And the demand isn't really changing. You still have the same number of jobs, but now you just have a lot more people who want them. And so it drove the cost of labor down, especially for, you know, less educated positions, you know, clerical positions. Then there was nursing and, you know, teaching. The wages in these industries in particular were suppressed significantly. It wasn't very long before every household needed two incomes. So we went from one income households to now we needed two incomes in a household. Let's not forget how the government benefits from all of this as well. Economic growth is a key indicator that every politician is acutely aware of. GDP is a really weird number. It does not represent necessarily the quality of life in a particular country. What it represents is the amount of money that's being spent in that country. So when you have two people that are working, that are buying cars, that need bigger houses, that are buying lunch at work, that are buying gasoline, that are stressed out and need more medical help, you know, and they're seeing psychiatrists and therapists and people like that. It just generates more and more economic activity. Do you see what I mean? Like, the GDP actually goes up when things go bad. Like, your, like, healthcare being outrageously expensive actually helps the GDP go up. Every time you go to the doctor, you know, you're actually contributing to GDP. The fact that you've got a $10,000 deductible on your health insurance plan Doesn't matter. You accumulated a bill, you know, a $10,000 bill at the doctor, and that is going toward GDP. The fact that everything costs so much, you know, that drugs cost a lot of money, that going to the doctor costs a lot of money, that cars are so ridiculously expensive. Everything, all economic activity contributes to the GDP. Doesn't mean it's good for you or good for me. It just means that it's good for the GDP. And what's good for the GDP is good for whoever is running the government at the time. All politicians want to see that GDP go up, no matter what. And when you add more people to the workforce and they are buying more stuff and spending more money, well, it just causes economic growth to go up and up and up. And as far as the government's concerned, that's a good thing because all of it's taxable. It's all taxable. That's another great part of it. Now, all this economic spending, all this activity, it's all subject to taxation. So yeah, everybody wins. Everybody wins. The corporations win. The government wins. I would argue that women on some level, but they end up losing in the end, just like we do. But we men, yeah, we have always been the sacrificial ones. And in this situation, that's no different. We are exactly the sacrificial ones. We're the ones who have been brainwashed into this whole mentality that having this chief financial officer, this chief purchasing officer in our household is a necessity, that it's something that we should be yielding our authority to so that she can make all these economic decisions. Because she's going to buy a lot of stuff. There's no question about it. Every man who's ever been with a woman knows that they love buying stuff. One of the key control mechanisms that corporations use is that biological characteristic that men have for procreation, that we do have a drive to procreate. But when you industrialize this need and you concentrate it, you add the story, the mythology around the princess, and you add fuel to the fire with all the love songs and all the movies, and you create a society that is built around the woman being the focal point of your life, well, then getting a woman in your life isn't just something that you're driven to do biologically, but it's something that is militarized, it's weaponized against you because they've captured that momentum that naturally occurs and they've accelerated it to a point where it seems like the urgency of it is beyond our ability to resist. It becomes something that is an absolute necessity. It's not something that's optional. Getting a woman in your life is something that you are absolutely driven to do in every way, shape, and form. I'm 61 years old. I see my mom, you know, just about every day. She's got Alzheimer's disease. She can barely remember her. She doesn't even know my name. She doesn't even remember my name. But every time I see her, she says, "So, do you have a new girlfriend?" It's like, how the hell does she even think of that? How does she even remember that? It's so driven into her head that I need to have a woman in order for my life to be full. She still has that. She's 81, 82 years old. She thinks that I need to have a woman in my life in order for it to be considered a success. Yeah, that's deep. That's deep. That's going into a demented brain. And she literally cannot remember my name, but she remembers that I'm single and she knows that's a problem. It's once you get that woman in your life, that's when the pink mist really starts to take over. Because you start to feel like you've accomplished something. You start to feel like your whole life is coming together in this moment because you have aligned the stars perfectly. And I remember having that feeling when I met my wife and I was walking 3 feet off the ground. I remember I was in some weird state of euphoria, and I can only imagine that it's comparable to some of the best drugs in the world because you've got the oxytocin and the serotonin and the dopamine all just pumping through your brain 24/7. Oh my God, it is, I mean, you guys know, it's just such an insane high. It really is. And you attribute these feelings to this situation, to this woman, that she is the source of all of your happiness and your joy. And of course, everything that you have learned since you were 5 years old is reinforcing this idea. Every love song that you listen to is telling you, yes, she's the reason why you feel so good right now. In fact, all those songs are now being proven true. You are now the protagonist in this world of poetry and prince and princesses. I mean, you're the prince. You are the prince. No horse, no good hair, but you're still the prince, man. You are him. You are the guy. And you feel it. You feel it in your bones. You feel it everywhere. It is the most intoxicating experience that a man can have, and it has been completely orchestrated since you were a child for you to feel exactly like this, so that when that relationship happens, when you're feeling that sensation, you know this is only going in one direction, and that's straight to the altar. Now, we've talked about this a lot. You know that once you get to the altar, things start to get altered. That's why they call it an altar. Yes, everything gets changed. Everything's different after the altar, because there's an alteration being made in your relationship. Now she takes on the role of the chief purchasing officer. She is going to be the dominant force in your relationship. Now, it doesn't go to this right away. I have to just give it some time here. I mean, things kind of slowly merge over from where they were to where they are. And just to be clear, women, I think, are a victim of this just as much as men are, because they buy into this whole princess thing and this chief purchasing officer and being the competent one in the household. They buy into this on some level as well. They believe that this is all true. They just seem to be, to us, the beneficiaries of all this manipulation. And in some ways they are, but in other ways they aren't. And I'm going to get to that here in a few minutes. But as that relationship starts to grow and there are more and more decisions that need to be made, it's natural that there would be some kind of sharing of responsibilities. It's important to remember that women did see these same prince and princess things way back when. Their five-year-old brains were influenced by it as well. And so when they find a man, they're not necessarily finding a prince. They're finding a guy that they can turn into a prince. Like, that's the way they see it. The idea of the prince is what they're after. The man that they have, they're thinking that they can probably help him achieve prince status. He's certainly not there yet. And they are going to do everything in their power to help him achieve that ideal that they have in their head for where he should be. Just keep that in mind. So they've been brainwashed into this idea that they need to have a prince and that they are the princess. And just like we have been brainwashed into the idea that they're the princess and we need to be the prince. Well, the conflict happens when we come to the station, or we come to the relationship thinking we are the prince. And she's thinking, I can make you a prince. You know, do you see the conflict there? I said it in our last video, the primary friction in relationships between men and women is that men want her to stay exactly the way she was when they met. And women want to change everything there is about him to make him the ideal for what she's looking for. And this friction, you know, goes on and on and on. And it really does start with this whole mythology around relationships, from princes and princesses and, you know, comedies and romance and love songs and all of it. It's just constantly reinforcing these ideas in our head that somehow romantic love is so critically important to everyone involved that we need to fall into these roles, that we need to be these mythologies and bring them into our lives. And it is the biggest crock of shit there ever was. But you see, the corporations have kind of figured this out as well. They realize that the mythology that they have built for men and women to construct their relationships around is bullshit. They understand that. And they understand that most men and women are going to eventually figure that out as well. The simping that men do is destructive not only to the man and to the relationship, but women can't stand it. Men believe that they need to accommodate her in every way, shape, and form by not disrupting her, by making her happy, by trying to deliver to her the life that she says that she wants. And men will do anything and everything in their power to do exactly that. And this simping erodes the woman's respect for the man every single day. Women will create arguments over nothing just to see if he will stand up to her. And more often than not these days, men will back down. They won't understand why this argument has happened. They know it's crazy. They know it's bullshit. They know there's nothing real here. But they don't want to fight back. They don't want to disrupt the relationship. They think that by submitting and allowing and just not causing any more waves, that they are in some way making the relationship stronger, when the exact opposite is the truth. They are literally destroying the relationship. They're eroding it from the inside out because she is losing respect for him every single day. And as she loses respect, she's going to be critical. She's going to be judgmental. She's going to be emasculating. She's going to be just a horrible person to be around. The princess is going to turn into the evil witch before you know it. And you, my son, are going to be the one who needs rescuing because things are going to get really, really bad for you. Now, the irony in all this is that when you get your divorce, when things start going badly, let's start off with things going badly, because when things start going badly in your relationship, it's an economic boon for the country. You're contributing to the GDP again, my friend. You're doing your patriotic duty. You're gonna take her out to dinners that you maybe can't afford. You know, you're gonna take her on vacations. You're gonna try to convince her that you are the man, that you are the man. I took my wife to Bermuda on a cruise for like a week. Oh my God, Bermuda is like the most expensive place on earth. I mean, it is crazy how expensive it is there, you know? And it didn't make any difference. I mean, I would take her out to dinner every week. We had date nights. Oh yeah, the date night thing. Yeah, that's another economic boon. Yeah, every week. And she didn't want to just go to the local Chili's or whatever. No. We were going to that really nice Italian place, you know, with the white linen tablecloths and the little real candles. Real light, real candles. Not the little flickering LEDs. No, the real candles on the table, you know, where there's a maitre d' and there's a... Your server is like a professional server. You know, this guy's supporting a family of four, you know, working at this restaurant. He's making six figures. That's the place she wants to go. So you are going to be spending some money, my friend, trying to save your marriage. And of course, you will do anything. I mean, the stage has been set. You must save this marriage. This is not optional. This is something that you have to do. And if you don't do it, you as a man, your whole identity is lost. So this is an existential threat. So spending enormous amounts of money to make her happy, buying her a new car, buy her a new house, buy her whatever the fuck she wants, buy her whatever she wants, as long as it saves the marriage, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. You gotta save it. And it's not gonna get saved, my friend. The vast majority, regardless of how much you spend, no matter how hard you work, no matter what you think you're doing that's gonna make this thing right, it's not. It's not gonna work. It's not gonna make it right. You're gonna be broke and sad. Not just sad, sad and broke. That's the way it's gonna go. And then the final phase of this little operation is the divorce. Ah. Another little turn of the economic engine, my friend. Yes, you are just generating some GDP for the government and for the corporations. Oh my God, there's so much economic activity around divorce. Because now we're going to go from one household to two households. We are doubling our money here. Yes. Instead of having one place to rent or buy, we're going to have two places to rent or buy. You know, there's going to be more need for appliances. There's going to be more need for dishes and furniture and stuff and just all kinds of stuff. Not to mention all the costs associated with divorce. Whew, man, there's a whole profession of divorce lawyers who appreciate your contribution. Their children are going to some of the finest schools in the country. Even though they might cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, they're okay because they've got this machine that just keeps generating more and more customers. Yes, the average divorce costs between $30,000 and $50,000, and that doesn't get too deep into the splitting up of assets, you know? There's so much going on with divorce. You know, you're gonna have more insurance policies. You're gonna have, you know, more cars possibly. You're gonna have more bank accounts, more investments, more money is gonna be spent all the time. And not only that, but since you're going through this very disruptive time in your life and you're emotionally distraught, well, and you've gone through this existential thing, you know, where you feel like your identity is being ripped away from you. And of course, there's sadness and depression. There's going to be therapy involved. There's going to be doctor's bills. You're so stressed out. You're going to just be looking for anything to take the pain away, you know? And men, you know, we'll do what we have to do. We have to buy stuff. We have to drink stuff. We have to take stuff. We got to take trips, whatever we need to do. If starting a new hobby, you know, we're going to buy a Corvette. Who knows? We're just going to spend money to try to make ourselves feel better at this moment, because we have lost everything. We have lost everything. We're gonna need to see a psychiatrist. We're gonna have a therapist. We're gonna have ulcers. We're going to have, our cholesterol is going up. You know, we're just contributing financially at every single level of the economy. We are just an economic boon for corporations and for the government. And with the government, they're getting extra taxes. You know, when there's a divorce, there's paperwork that needs to be filed. There's, when you buy a new property, there's going to be new real estate taxes. There's going to be all kinds of transactions that occur that require the government to get a fee. There's going to be a fee involved for the government. But more than that, just the fact that you are now split up and that you're going to be having two economic tax bases is a benefit for the government. Everyone wins in this situation. Everyone wins, except you, and even for her. Because here's the sad thing. After a divorce, especially for women, financially, they're worse off. More often than not, women are worse off after a divorce than they were before. Because so many of them are doing it when they're like 50 years old. Like, they're not going to find some new guy. You know, they're not going to find someone to pick up the slack. You know, they're going to be living in a small little apartment with a cat, and they're going to be very sad for the rest of their lives, wishing they had not done what they just did. You know, they're going to be wondering, why the hell did I do this? This guy was not that bad. he was paying all the bills. And now here I am paying all my own bills, and I'm not very happy with it. You know, so you can see how this little cycle of life that started when you were 5 years old is going to carry you all the way to the end. And it's going to be benefiting the corporations that sell you stuff, and the government, who's really focused on seeing economic growth. And you are that economic engine. And it's all predicated on you being a simp. And if you are not simping, then this whole thing doesn't work, because she no longer is the chief purchasing officer. She is no longer the person who's in charge of every financial decision that occurs in the household. If men are in charge of these financial decisions, I think the U.S. might be a third world country. We might be just under China, rather than being twice China, because the economic activity would slow down significantly. So is it possible to avoid this whole nightmare scenario? Is it possible that we can live normal, healthy, balanced lives and have healthy relationships with women? It is. But here's the thing. Is simping has to be off the table. We have to put a stop to the simping. And the only way you do that is that you have got to become a fully developed, functioning man who sees the world from the inside out, not the outside in. Meaning you need that internal locus of control where you are in charge of what motivates you and what validates you. That you are not looking outside of yourself for direction. You're not looking outside of yourself for approval. You're not looking outside of yourself for that feedback loop to tell you that you're on the right path. You've got to find your path on your own. And this is not easy. This is not easy, because it requires that you do a little bit of research, that you understand what greatness looks like, that you understand what other men who came before you were able to accomplish in their lives, and see how they were able to do it. What was the courage that it took for them to make those hard decisions that took them to the places that you only dream about? Because you can do it too. You can do it too, but you have to take on that mindset. Now, you don't need to be an asshole. You don't need to be some kind of a caricature of a man, but you do need to find that place within you where you are comfortable and whole within yourself. Because when you are in that place and you need not for another, you need no other person in your life, when you are no longer searching for someone to complete you, then you can have a healthy relationship with a woman. Because so long as you think that she's a necessity to your life, that she's a necessity to completing who you are as a man, that she is central to your existence, that she is the purpose of your life. If you have any of those thoughts in your head, you will become part of the simp industrial complex. You'll be submitting to the machine. You're submitting to the machine that drives this whole process. And the only way to stop that is you have got to grow up as a man. You cannot allow yourself to fall for this bullshit. This whole idea that women are the center of the universe and we need to do everything in our power to have one. You've got to be completely willing and comfortable with the idea that you will never have a wife. You've got to have that idea. You've got to be willing to accept the fact that the concept around having the nuclear family with women and children, a wife and children, it was not yours. This was not your idea. And the whole idea that, I need to perpetuate my line, that's bullshit, man. That's bullshit. That's someone else's idea. it's not your line, it's someone else's line. Your line made it this far. There are billions of lines that all ended. Who cares? You're not going to be here. You're not going to be here to worry about it, you know? Someone else's line will take over. It doesn't matter. Don't give yourself these stupid ideas to make you rationalize and justify that you need to jump into this simp industrial complex and become part of this ridiculous machine that grinds men up, grinds relationships up, and spits us out like old shoes, like nothing, like we're just dirt, you know? Because that's what ends up happening to us. That's what ends up happening to every one of us. How is it that when you have a failure rate of an institution that exceeds 50%, like it does with marriage, how is it that any sane human being enters into that? How is it when you've got at least a 1 in 2 chance of that thing going tits up completely and ending in divorce? And then if you add to that all the people who stay in marriages for financial reasons, despite the fact that they are miserable in their marriages, what are we talking about? Another 30, 40%? Could we be talking about an 80 or 90% failure rate for this institution? And yet people are still lining up for it. They're still congratulating each other. We're buying rings. We're wearing suits. We're putting on parties for $30, $40, $50, $100,000 parties to celebrate this idea that we're basically walking off the plank. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why are we doing this? It's not rational. You've got to see the machine at work. That's the only way this thing works, is that there is a simp industrial complex that needs it to work. The corporations need it to work. The government needs it to work. They all need this to work because we are the engine that drives the economy, and our relationships are the engine that do it. And we are the sacrificial men that end up paying the ultimate price, because at the end of the day, and women may suffer financially, you know, their lifestyles may be negatively impacted by divorce, and I think the statistics prove that out. Men are emotionally impacted far greater than women, far greater. Emotionally, men take it, it's like the worst possible thing, and part of that, again, goes back to that simp industrial complex convincing us of all the critical elements of this relationship, and when we lose it, it feels like we've lost our lives. It feels like we've lost who we are. We've lost our identity, and we're confused, and we're lost, and we've done everything that we thought was right, and now we've left with nothing, and we feel like we're worthless. And men pay emotionally, psychologically, as well as financially. So, my friends, see the simp industrial complex for what it is. It's all around us. It's like we're the fish in the bowl, and the water is the simp industrial complex. We are breathing it in every single day. It's all around us 24/7. It's manipulating us subtly and overtly all the time, that we need to behave in certain ways in order to be accepted by society, that we need to be that bumbling husband who turns over his autonomy to the competent woman who's going to direct our lives in meaningful ways. Yeah, that's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. You don't need a woman. You're not bumbling. You don't need a chief, spending officer or whatever. You don't need that purchasing officer. You don't need that in your life. You absolutely don't need it. You do not need to be a simp in order to have a woman. In fact, I would argue convincingly that quite the opposite is true. That when you tell her no early and often, and you stand your ground and you have your boundaries and you refuse to simp, the likelihood that you're going to have a healthy, strong relationship goes through the roof. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to be an asshole. It just means that you're going to stand your ground, that you're going to have boundaries, that you're going to very kindly and sweetly say, no, we're not doing that. We don't need a new couch. We don't need another car. No, we don't need to move. No, we don't need that. We don't need a vacation to Bermuda or whatever. We're going to be just fine without any of that stuff, honey. And those people on Instagram and their FOMO stuff that they're throwing your way, we're just going to delete that software from your phone so you don't have to look at that anymore, because I think that's upsetting you. I think that's getting in your head, you know? That's causing you to feel like you're not good enough. And I wouldn't want anyone in the world to make you feel like you're not good enough, so we're just going to delete Instagram. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you today. I certainly hope you've enjoyed this video. If you have, please like and subscribe. If you know someone who's stuck in this simp industrial complex, please forward this to them. Anyway, till next time, remember, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.